Morning, everyone. We are on the Mishnah on Yudaf. Today's Daf is Daf Yud Gimel, so needless to say, we're behind. This Shabbos, what we'll do is we'll learn before Mincha so that we can make some time to catch up. Really, after today's Daf, meaning not today's Daf, but after Yudaf, after Yud Beis, it's going to get a little bit easier. I don't know if that's a fair statement to make, but in other words, but really today is going to be more Kachim, and we're back into the world of Kedushas Haguf versus Kedushas Damim, and so good. So that's where we are today. Let's do it. It's going to be slightly challenging, but I think we've seen this already enough times where we start to get the hang of it. We start to get comfortable with it. I raised a problem yesterday, so let me just reintroduce the problem very quickly, and then let's go right into the Mishnah. The problem is as follows: we have to buy this year's Kabbalahs from this year's money. That's the basic rule. We spoke about that in the past. We reiterated a number of times already that this year's Kabbalahs has to be from current public monies, and it cannot be from last year's public monies. So now the problem becomes as follows. We have a Kataris. The Kataris is offered daily, and it's prepared in the beginning of the year. 368 monos of Kataris are prepared at the beginning of the year for the year. Now the year, again, I know we operate with a lunar calendar, but just assuming a solar year, it's all going to average out anyway. So let's assume a solar year. A solar year is made up of 365 days. So we're going to have 3 mana that's left over at the end of every year. Additional to that, or I should say rather, we could subtract from that, the Kohen Gadol is going to take his hands and put him into the Ketores in order to take out a fistful of the Ketores to bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, but that's still not going to, that doesn't answer up for the additional 3 mana. So basically, at the end of every year, we're going to have 3 mana. Okay, so just simply roll the Ketores into next year. That's a problem, because this year's Ketores was purchased with this year's money. Next year's Ketores has to be purchased with next year's money. So essentially, the problem is now going to be, how do I roll over Ketores from one year to the next year? Okay, roll over Ketores. That's our issue. That's what we discussed yesterday. That's going to be the problem. The Mishnah is going to give a solution, and the solution goes like this. Most of Ketores were now on the Mishnah on Yudalef Amud Aleph. We're at the very bottom. Most of Ketores mayu osimba. So what would I do with any additional Ketores? Marfish meminus char umin mechal nosa al maos haumnin. So the Gemara says, look, there are going to be people working for the Beis Hamikdash. We're going to owe them money. Let's even say, just for the purpose of making this simple, that the people we owe money to are the people who actually prepare the Ketores. Okay. They're umnin. They're craftsmen who need to get paid. So here's what we'll do. We'll take money already in the possession of the Beit HaMikdash, and we're going to set it aside as payment towards the workers. Then what we'll do is we'll take last year's Ketores, and we will be mechalal. Let's look at the language of the Mishnah. We're going to deconsecrate last year's Ketores, meaning remove the Kedusha from last year's Ketores and move it to the money. And put that Kedusha on the money. Then what we're going to do, step number 2, Nosten Osa La'umnin. We're then, actually, let me do it like this. Let's go step 1, put money aside as payment for the umnin. Step 2, deconsecrate the Kedusha from the Ketores onto the money. Step 3, give the Ketores to the actual workers, meaning the workers are now going to be in possession of last year's Ketores. But last year's Ketores now has been deconsecrated. It's mechulal, doesn't have Kedusha. And now, step 4, buy it back using this year's money. Okay, good. That's four step process. Let me just quickly reiterate. Step 1, put money aside for the payment of the workers. Step 2, deconsecrate the Kedusha of the Ketores onto the money. Step 3, give the deconsecrated Ketores over to the workers. Step 4, buy back the Ketores using this year's money. And that's how we'll do it. That's how we'll roll over last year's to this year's. Okay, now if you follow the steps carefully, you realize the steps have somewhat of a problem. Let me point out the obvious problems with this process. Right, problem number 1. The money that we set aside for the workers to pay. Fine. In other words, Beis HaMikdash has a operating budget. We have been collecting shkalim. It's let's even say that the money's from the Shayari HaLishka, whatever. They have money. The money that is in the Beis HaMikdash already has Kedusha. So what am I doing now? I'm being mechal the Ketores onto the money, right? They both have Kedusha. Meaning the only way you could transfer Kedusha is going from something with Kedusha to something without Kedusha. And then I could transfer the Kedusha from one to another. But over here, if the money already is Nikdash, as it's in the hands of the Beis HaMikdash, so how am I transferring the Kedusha from the Ketores to the money? It's a basic issue. The Gemara is going to be bothered by that very question. We're going to see that question asked and addressed by the Gemara. Okay? Another basic issue which the Gemara is really not going to address, but just I'll raise it, it's just such a basic issue, is it seems to be that we're going so many steps additional, more than we actually need. Meaning, what's our goal? Our goal is just simply to roll over the Ketores from last year to this year. That's really the purpose of all this. Meaning, paying the workers, we'll pay the workers. Meaning, the workers will get paid. You're right, the Beis HaMikdash will pay them. But why are we deconsecrating the Ketores and then handing the Ketores over to the workers and then buying it back from the workers? Meaning, can we all do this without the workers involved? Okay. That's another very basic question, which really truth on the matter is the Gemara doesn't discuss that. Why this additional step involved? Okay.
It looks more like a real, you know...
Correct. That's the general answer. Right. The general answer is it looks more like a transaction than just simply the Beis HaMikdash doing some internal accounting and okay, good, it was last year's Ketores, now it's this year's Ketores. So I think Phil is right. I think that's the basic idea, is that it, instead of making just doing some sort of internal accounting and okay, all the books work out and, you know, it could look like we're just playing around with some numbers and okay, everything is good. So therefore, we're going to actually hand the Ketores over to the workers. We're going to buy it back from the workers. Now it looks like a real transaction, and maybe that's the reason why we have this additional step. The Mishnah then adds a point. We're now back to the Mishnah inside on Yud Alpha and Aleph. V'im b'charis b'zmano lochin osam mitchum chadash v'im lav mina yishana. Now, if you have new monies, buy from the new monies, and if you don't have new monies, so buy from the old monies. Now, the Mishnah, why the Mishnah has to point this out over here, it's strange, let's be honest with each other, meaning the whole purpose, the whole reason why we're doing this whole process is to roll over the Ketores from last year to this year. And now the Mishnah is describing, well, if I don't have any new monies, so then I'll buy it with last year's monies. I mean, we're back to exactly where we started from, meaning you went through this entire process, and now what? Here's Ketores with last year's money, purchased with last year's money. So, okay, so it's the Mefarshim are bothered by why the Mishnah makes this point. The Rambam, in explanation of this Mishnah, the Rambam writes that the Mishnah is teaching us that Bidi'eved, Lichatchila, Karbanos have to come from this year's money. But Bidi'eved, if I don't have this year's money and all I have is last year's money, so then I could bring a Karban this year using last year's money, Bidi'eved. Certainly not a lichatchila halacha, but bidyevet it would work. And the Rambam says, and I get that from this line of the Mishnah. Okay, we start with the Gemara on the very bottom of Yud Alef Amud Aleph. Step one in the process is a very difficult step. We're taking monies, and we're basically deconsecrating the money. Sorry, let me do that again. We take the Ketores, and we're deconsecrating the Ketores onto monies.
The money has Kedusha.
So how can I take Ketores with Kedusha and try to be Mechal of the Kedusha onto money, money that already has Kedusha? It doesn't work. So So the Gemara says there's an additional step. One not mentioned in the Mishnah, but you have to say it, otherwise none of this is going to work. And that additional step is we're going to take the money, we're going to deconsecrate the money. And how are we going to deconsecrate the money? There's building, right? The Gemara is assuming there's some new building that's taking place. There's some project taking place in the Beis HaMikdash. And so what happens is that the building is built and it before it becomes Kadosh. And then once the building is built and the building is not been paid for yet, now the Beis HaMikdash will transfer the Kedusha from the money onto the building. And now the money is deconsecrated money, and now we could take the Ketores and take the Kedusha of the Ketores and transfer it onto that money. Okay, so Gemara says there's another step. You have to say that, otherwise there's no way of transferring the Kedusha from the Ketores to the money. Yeah, in other words, no. The Beis HaMikdash has to retain the money because the Beis HaMikdash wants non-sacred money, so that we could transfer the kedusha from the Ketores. Right? How are the workers getting? How are we paying for the building?
Yeah,
that's a
chulin money.
Yeah, but
donation,
I'm not right. I'm not
donation to the temple. Donation.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It's
if it's built by the money of the Betamikdash, the building has kedusha already.
Also. Correct. So the assumption is the Gemara is making an assumption that the building is not kadosh,
right.
Meaning it's built in a state of non kedusha, and then what we're going to do is we're going to transfer the from the money onto the building. But then, aren't we? I'm with you, Hedy. Right, your question bothers me as well. Aren't we supposed to be paying the people who are building the building? Paying for the materials themselves, meaning someone needs to get paid. So I'm not really sure how, you know, there seems to be another step in this whole process that's missing as well. Okay. Well, what we're doing is we're trying to create for the Beis HaMikdash non-Kedusha money so we could transfer it. But in other words, who paid for that building? Okay, unclear, unsure. Okay. Top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Umevi Ketores Mechalei Menosan Asolna Omnen Bitzcharem. Osam Hamaos Ma Ya'ase Bahen. Okay, now what's going to happen? We are now, there's money. Meaning, remember, in this process what happened is that the Beis HaMikdash had money and we transferred the Kedusha from the Ketores to the money and now we handed the Ketores over to the workers. The workers then gave us back the Ketores, and we then used this year's money to pay for the Ketores. Good. All well and good. But in that original deconsecration, so we have money now that was given the Kedusha of last year's Ketores. So the Gemara now has a very simple question. What happens with that money? That money with last year's Kedusha. So Rebbe Omer Ani, right, the classic line of Rebbe. Rabbi Omer Omer Ani Yanasla Beis Garmala Beis Aftina Shah Yubikim Bipitum Akhtaras of Vamasalacham upon him. You pay the workers for last year's work. And the Gemara makes that point very clear. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Vehein Shiyu Chayavan Lahem Maos Mishar Rishona. Yeah, if we owe back wages, which I know, why would we owing back wages? Shouldn't have they been paid already? But anyway, if we owe back wages, so then we'll use the money to pay the back wages. Rabbi Chia Barba, by lo hayu chayev lahem maos mishar rishona. What if we don't owe them? What if we don't owe them wages? So again, the question is, money that was invested with last year's Ketores Kedusha, what do we do with that money? So asa Rabbi Ba, b'shem Rabbi Chia, b'shem Rabbi Yosi, mekaitzem behemes hamizbeach. So his answer is, keitzem hamizbeach. Slow season, the Beis HaMikdash, we'll buy karbanos with that money, we'll offer karbanos on the Beis HaMikdash. This is the classic case of Mizbeach. So Rabbi Babar Cohen by Kume Rabbi Yossi. Mechal fe shita de Rabbi Chia Barba. Okay, I know this is all very difficult to follow, but basically, did you see what happened with Rabbi Chia Barba? Meaning Rabbi Chia Barba asked a question. What do I do with last year's money? I don't know. And then what did Rabbi Chia Barba says? Oh, I know. We'll offer it, we'll use it to buy Ketz HaMizbech, animals for Ketz HaMizbech, carbunders for Ketz HaMizbech. So, you see what just happened? He asked a question, what do we do? And then he answered his own question. Oh, I know what we do. It's strange. Well, he didn't know, he's answering his own question. He didn't know the answer. So, Taman Tzrichalei V'Kapashtalei. So the Gemara says, he's asking, and then he's answering. So, how did Tzrichalei B'Klishar, so the Pashtalei B'Klishar, huh? Right. Correct, but it's just, I guess the Gemara thinks it's funny, it's odd, that one Amara is asking and answering his own question. So usually you have another Amara answering a question, but you're right. So the Gemara's explanation is, how did Shrichle B'Klishar is how did Pshita Leila B'Ketam is Be'ach? So the Gemara says, here's what was obvious to him, and here's what was not so obvious to him. What was obvious to him was Ketam is Be'ach, meaning, What do I always do with last year's money? Meaning we've gone over this before. Last year's monies, any residual of last year's money, specifically monies of the Truma Salishka, is used towards Ketz HaMizbeach. So yeah, that he knew. What he wanted to know in addition to that is, can I use the money also for Kli Shares? Meaning, can I buy Kli Shares with that money? And basically the question on the table is going to be the following. We have money with Kedushas HaKetores. Good. Kedushas HaKetaris now. And we're not talking about Ketaris that was offered, obviously. We're talking about a Ketaris that was no longer necessary. Superfluous. So this Kedusha, what level, what degree of Kedusha does it have? Can I take the money that was invested with this Kedusha and buy klisharis with it? The ispal gon. So the Gemara says, look, we have the following machlokas. Pitma bechulin, Rabbi Yossi bei Rabbi Chanina amar psul, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi amar ksheira. Can I prepare the Ketores in non-sacred vessels? Right? This is what's called klichulin. Can that happen or can that not happen? Meaning, or when the Ketores is prepared, it has to be prepared in klisharis. Essentially, what the Gemara is asking is, to what degree of Kedusha does the Ketores and, by extension, the klisharis used for the Ketores, what kind of degree of Kedusha does it have? Does it have the high level of Kedusha where the Ketores and the Kli both have to be Kodesh? Or no, can the Ketores be prepared at home in your own utensils and then brought to the base of Mikdash and then subsequently be Nikdash? So now, if the Ketores has to be prepared in a Kli Shares, so that means then that the Ketores has a high degree of Kedusha. What can I do with the proceeds of that Ketores, the Kedusha of that Ketores that was transferred onto money? I can buy Kli Shares with that money. Or no, the Kli Shares can be prepared even in a Chulin vessel. Now, if that's true, then the proceeds of that, of the Ketores, cannot be used to buy Kli Shares. The Gemara says that's a machlokas, and that was the question. So to use the money for Ketza Mizbeach, Gemara says, I knew. That's fine. But to use the money to buy Kli Shares, it really depends on the level of degree of Kedusha of the Ketores to begin with. My time to Rav Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina Kodeshi Shetei Av Yasa. Sorry, Kodeshi, because the Torah says in describing the Ketores, it is Kodesh Shetei Av Yasa B'Kodesh. It has to be made in Kedusha, meaning it has to be made in the Kli Shares. My time to Rav Yoshua ben Levi Kodeshi Shetei Ba Mitruma Salishka. The Torah is saying that it's Kadosh simply means that the money using to purchase it has to be Chumas Halishka money, meaning Kedushas HaGuf money, not from the Shayare Halishka. But meanwhile, however, it doesn't have to be prepared in a Kli Shares. I'm Rav Yossi B'Rabbi Bon, Asya D'Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina Kashmur, Uzi Rav Yishu Ben Levi K'Rav Yochanan. This Machlokas, whether or not the Ketores has to be prepared in a Kli Shares, or whether it can be prepared in your own home, this reflects a machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan based on the Mishnah which we're going to see momentarily. And the Mishnah on the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Ditanina namakdish nechasav ayim and dvarim ruim lekarbanas sibur. The Mishnah describes a person dedicating all of his worldly possessions to the Beis Hamikdash. And included in that, you have Ketores in your house. The obvious question. You have Ketores in your house? What are you, first of all, what are you doing? Secondly, but that's not a real question. Secondly, how did you prepare the Ketores in your own home? Don't you need a Kli Shares? So Rav Yochanan, I'm a Ketores, I'm a Rabbi Yoshia. So Rav Yochanan says it's Ketores, period. Period. Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, you don't need a Kli Shares. You can prepare the Ketores in your own home using your own utensils. And then give it to the Beis HaMikdash. So what do you see according to Rav Yochanan? That the degree of Kedusha of the Kedusha of the Ketores is not that high. It is a lower level Kedusha, evident by the fact that you can prepare the Ketores in the privacy of your own home. So that means now that the proceeds of that Ketores, meaning if I redeem that Ketores, so the money can only be used for Ketza Mizbeach, but it cannot be used for Kli Shares. And I'm Rabbi Yoshia, Tipater Be'uman Mishal Beis Avtina, Shayanota B'Scharo Ketores. And Rabbi Yoshia, when he learns the Mishnah, which we'll see in just a moment, on the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, he says, no, the Ketores in question was prepared in a Kli Shares. So who's dedicating it? Beis Avtinas, meaning the Mishnah is talking about a very specific case, where the house of Beis Avtinas dedicated was Makdish his property, and included in that property was Ketores. Not because he prepared it in his home, he actually prepared it in a Kli Shares, because that's what he does. That's what the Mishnah is describing. In other words, and once we could say the Mishnah like that, So then we could argue that the Ketores has to be prepared in a Kli Sharis. So again, the basic issue on the table is the Ketores, how is it prepared? Does it have to be prepared in a Kli Sharis, or can it be prepared in your own home? Subject to a Machlokas. Machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. Shmuel says it could be prepared in your own home. Rav Yochanan says it could be prepared in your own home. Shmuel says no, it has to be prepared in Kli Sharis. And it's a Machlokas amongst the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael as well. The Gemara notes that Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Chanina agrees with Shmuel that it has to be made in Kli Sharis. I'm Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Bon Amra Rabbi Huna Kume Rabbi Yossi. Davar Shekadosh by Kli Sharis Nifde. I don't understand. If you're right, if the Ketores is prepared in a Kli Sharis, and we get to the end of the year, and there's leftover Ketores, can I ask you a simple question? How do we redeem it? Meaning, anything prepared in a Kli Sharis has what degree of Kedusha? Kedusha Zaguf. Something that has Kedusha Zaguf can't be redeemed. So, a simple question. If Shmuel's right, and these other Amoraim are right, and the Ketores has to be prepared in a Kli Sharis, so how are we redeeming it at the end of the year? Very good question. The Gemara provides an answer. Amalei velo deshmul he deshmul amar kalhu bemoser. So Shmuel, the Gemara gives a one-line answer. This is leftover. Leftover is different. Why should leftover be different? So the Gemara is going to explain. De is palgono siru tamimim. So the Gemara says, look, let's do it this way. Let's explore this idea that moser, that anything which is left over can be redeemed. At least according to Shmuel. Hosiru tamimim. Let's say I have carbon tamim. I have carbon tamim left over at the end of the year. How do we have that? We know. We learned this in Erchin. It's other places as well. I just remember Erchin. We learned in Erchin that there would be a supply, a ready standing six animals for the carbon ola. Checked and examined. And ready to be offered. Now, how many do we need a day? We only need two a day. But nevertheless, we would have six ready and able. Why six? Why? What's so magical about the number six? Because basically, that could be a scenario in which we won't be able to get, meaning a two-day yontif and Shabbos. Two-day yontif in the Beis HaMikdash? Rosh Hashanah. So I can have Rosh Hashanah, followed then by Shabbos, so it's possible to have a three-day yontif. So therefore, we need a reserve of six animals. Fine. When we get to the end of the year, what's happening? What's happening is we don't need those six animals anymore at the end of the year. Why not use them for next year? We can use them for next year. Next year has to be you purchased with next year's money. So what do we do with those animals? So Shmuel says, redeem them. Now we can ask, redeem them? They have Kedusha Zaguf. How can you redeem them? Shmuel Amar Niftim Ketmimim. Rav Yochanan Amar Niftim Kepsula Hamukdashim. So Shmuel says that you could just redeem them as they are. Rav Yochanan says you have to wait till they get a blemish. So again, what's the idea? The idea is, according to Shmuel, it's leftover. Leftover is different. So the truth of the matter is, we didn't really explain why it's different. We're just right now saying it's different. Anything that's leftover, that's no longer needed, can be redeemed, even if it's unblemished. We're going to answer the question in just a moment, but just before we do that, Osiris Seirim. Let's say there are goats left over. Goats, what are we using goats in the Beis HaMikdash for? So we're using it for the Karban Chatas, communal Karban Chatas, every month. Monday's Rosh Chodesh, B'mehera B'yamin, we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash. Monday we're offering a Karban Chatas, a Seir L'Chatas. So let's say there's leftover Seirim at the end of the year, which again, we can use next year because it was bought with this year's money. What do we do with it? So once again, same basic discussion. If I can redeem an ola, you don't think I can redeem a chatas? And according to Rav Yochanan, you let it graze, develop a blemish, and then redeem it. And according to another opinion, you use it for ketzah mizbeach. So v'kashi yesh chatas shekreva ola, to which the Gemara asks the obvious question, I can reassign a carbon? The answer is you can't. There's no reassignment of a carbon. Once a carbon is dedicated as a carbon, you can't reassign it. So I'm Rav Yossi Shnayahi. So Rav Yossi says, well, it's different. Shein carbon tzibur nikvar nela b'shchita, because the carbon tzibur is not going to be established, meaning it's not going to be identified until you actually shecht it. Amar Rabbi Chiya, here it is, the line we've been waiting for. Tanai based in he, amoster sheikrivu olos. Tanai based in, it was a precondition. In other words, whenever the Beis HaMikdash is going to sanctify any animal, there's a precondition that goes into the sanctification, which is, if needed, if we need this as a carbon, so then it's going to be invested with Kiddush as a goof. And if we don't need it with a carbon, so then it's redeemable. So in other words, this is what's called Tanai Beis Din. Tanai Beis Din is a precondition that goes into the sanctification of an animal. Beis Din can do this for all animals. And now, with that last line of the Gemara, now we understand Shmuel. Shmuel works out perfectly on everything Shmuel stated. Let's go step by step. Ketores, according to Shmuel, has to be prepared in a Kli Sharis. If Ketores has to be prepared in a Kli Sharis, is it invested with Kedusha Sagof? How at the end of the year can we redeem it? Answer, Tanai Beis Din. Ola, the Ola at the end of the year. There are going to be six animals left over at the end of the year, which I can't use for next year because they were purchased with last year's money. So how can I redeem them? It's an Ola. Answer, and according to Shmuel, I can redeem him even without a blemish. So how can I do that? Once again, Tanai Beis Din. And finally, the Chatas, according to Shmuel, if you have any leftover Chatas at the end of the year that was not used, what do? I redeem it. Again, how do you redeem it? Tanai Beis Din. Okay, good. That's the that is the end of that discussion. We are now on the very top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and here we begin a new Mishnah. This Mishnah, now we are going to leave the world of Shkalim for the rest of today, and we're going to enter into the world of Kachim. This is going to be just a straightforward Mishnah, which talks about Inyanei Kachim, and this will really be it. Meaning after we get through this Mishnah, the Sugya, and after we finish the Perek, so we will go back to Inyanei Shkalim. But right now, Kedusha. Okay, yes, sir.
If you have a worker from the Beit HaMikdash for a service, he gets paid by the Truma Talishka, right?
In other words, so yes. In other words, if he's working in Karbanos, so he's going to get paid by the Truma Talishka. If he's working on building, so then he's going to get paid by the Shayare Halishka.
So that money
Will have Kedusha. And how will that money get deconsecrated?
Right.
So it's funny that you asked that question. That's a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai. Rabbi Akiva says it gets deconsecrated right on the work, meaning on the services that he provided, and Ben Azai says no. And it would seem like our mission that we learned at the beginning of today is going like Ben Azai. Okay. We'll see the machlokus in just a moment. Okay, let's go over something which is so basic. I mean, it's the ABCs of Kedusha, and that is that there are two levels of Kedusha. There's what's called Kedusha Seguf, and there's what's called Kedusha Damim. Kedusha Seguf, an animal set aside for carbon. Animal set aside for carbon, that's Kedusha Seguf. That is a non-transferable, non-redeemable carbon. You like that fancy language?
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on that. So it is invested with Kedusha, that it's an intrinsic Kedusha, and now the animal can only have one fate, and that is, it can be offered as a carbon. Now, like with every statement I make, you know, there are always going to be qualifiers. It can be redeemed, but it needs to get a blemish, and even after I redeem it, it's still going to have residual Kedusha. The only thing I could do with a blemished animal after it's redeemed, a blemished carbon, I should say, after it's redeemed, is I can shecht and I can eat it. I can't milk it. I can't let it produce children. So in other words, basically, that's Kedushas Aguf. That has intrinsic value. And then there's Kedushas Damim. Kedushas Damim means that it's not intrinsically valuable. Its value is only going to be so that it could benefit the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, here, I'm not just this table. I mean, I'm not, but as an example, if I were to be makdish this table, what does the Beis HaMikdash care about this table? They don't. They just simply care about its value. What they plan to do is sell the table, and the proceeds will go to the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So now the question on the table is as follows. Let's say I now came to the realization, what do I need my worldly possessions? I'm here for only 120 years on this earth. I'm the car, the house, nonsense. Totally valueless to me. In fact, I think the Beis HaMikdash would have a much better time with it. So what do? I basically am maktish all my properties. Here, Beis HaMikdash. Here's my home. Here's my deed. Here's my car. Take everything. Just take it all. And my animals in my backyard. Take them as well. I have no use for them anymore. I'll subsist off of, I don't know. I'll figure out how to live. Whatever. Anyway, so the question that we're going to be dealing with is as follows: your properties now, who are now under the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. So the house, we certainly understand, only has Kedushas Damim, as does the car, as does all your movable assets. Yeah. That we understand. But what about my animals in my backyard? What are they? Are they going to be invested with Kedushas Aguf, or are they going to be invested with Kedushas Damim? Right? Good question. Okay. I understand this question may not be the one keeping you up at nights, but that's going to be the topic of our Mishnah and the rest of today's daf. The Mishnah starts off, Amakjish Nechasa Ve Hayu Behem Dvarim Ru'un LaKarbana Satz Tzibor. Things which are fit for the carbon steamboat. Yinasan la'umnim b'scharam divir Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva says, so you know what you do with them? Pay the workers with them. Now, pay the workers with them. What do you mean? You're just going to... How do these items get deconsecrated? On the service of the workers? That's Rabbi Kiva. Amalo ben Azai. So ben Azai says to his Rebbe / colleague. So ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva, Eino hi hamida. Incorrect. Ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva. Right, and as the Gemara pointed out earlier, whenever you see Ben Azai speak to Rabbi Akiva, it's going to be gruff. It's going to be collegial, meaning they're not right. The Gemara made this point earlier in our Masechta and Shkalim that they are. Ben Azai was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but then he turns into a chaver. He turns into a colleague. So Eino hi amida. Ben Azai says, go back to the previous Mishnah. Remember the whole process that we did in the previous Mishnah, how we started off today's daf? That's what you do. But in other words, you just don't simply give money or items to the workers and allow the deconsecration to take place on their service. It doesn't work that way. So what it seems to be is that we have a basic machlok between Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva, whether or not things can be deconsecrated on services provided. Rabbi Akiva says yes, Ben Azai says no. And it seems to be that the previous Mishnah, although anonymous, seems to be going like Ben Azai. Hamakdash Shechasav Ahayu Bahen, Behema Rui Agabim Mizbeach, Zecharim Unakevos. And here we go. Major machlok is coming up. What happens to the animals? Not what happens to them. They go to the Beis HaMikdash. What level of Kedusha do they obtain? Kedusha Saguf or Kedusha Damim? Now you, the owner of them, the previous owner of them, you just simply said they belong to Hekdesh. That's all you said. So now what happens to the animals? So Rabbi Eliezer Amar Zecharim Yimachul Estarchel and Akim Yimachul Estarchel Zivchei Shlamim Udemeim Yiplu Im Shar Nechasov LeBedek HaBayis. So Rabbi Eliezer, if I could just simply cut down his statement into two words, Kedushas Damim. But I need to explain a little bit more. In other words, the animals only receive Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas Aguf. The Beis HaMikdash will now be the proud owners of these animals. These animals are not necessarily a carbon, but they're just simply going to be property of the Beis HaMikdash. Now what the Beis HaMikdash should do with these animals is sell these animals as a carbon. So that people are going to be coming to the Beis HaMikdash year round. Hey, I need an animal for a carbon. Beis HaMikdash says, perfect. To take him to the stable. Here's an animal. It's ours. We'll sell it to you as a carbon. And now the proceeds are going to be going to the Beis HaMikdash. Good. Rabbi Eliezer says that will be happening to all the animals that are muktash to the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Zechar Matzman Yikruvu Olos and Akevz Yamachul Sarche Zivchei Shlamim V'yavi Bidmeim Olos U'shar Nechasim Yipulu Lebedek HaBayis. So Rabbi Yeshua says, well, we'll make a distinction between the male animals and the female animals. The male animals will be directly muktash as a carbon, and the female animals will be sold, and the proceeds of the sale will go towards a carbon ola. And everything else you own is going to belong to the Bedek HaBayis. So in other words, the animals will be invested with Kedusha Saguf, and the And the rest of your possessions will be invested with Kedushas Damim. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, now let's think about this. I have my choice of either Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yoshua. Rewa Ani is Divra Rabbi Eliezer and Divra Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Eliezer in this case makes a lot more sense. Why? Sure, Rabbi Eliezer, Hishves Midosav, Rabbi Yoshua Chalak. Because think about it. The person only made one declarative statement. I am Makdish. All my possessions are now going to the Beit HaMikdash. So Rabbi Akiva says, don't you think it's all going to have the same destination? Aren't all your possessions going to go to the same place? Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Yeshua says, well, the animals will be have Kedushas Aguf and the rest of your property will have Kedushas Damim. What is that? Meaning, in your one statement, you meant that some will have Kedushas Aguf and some will have Kedushas Damim? Hard to imagine. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't think so. I think Rabbi Eliezer is right. If all you made is one declarative statement, so therefore I think the destination of all these items, both animals and your home, are all going to go to the same destination, which is the Bet HaKabayis. Amar of Papias. One more opinion on this matter. Shamati Divrei Shneim, Hamakdish Beferish Kedivrei Rabbi Eliezer, Hamakdish Stam Kedivrei Rabbi Yoshua. You know what I heard? I heard that they're both right. Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. If you are saying it Beferish, if you're explicit, so then Rabbi Eliezer is correct. Then it's all going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Bet HaKabayis. And if you are Makdish Stam, but you're not specific, so then Rabbi Yoshua is right. It's funny. If I didn't know better, correct. I would have gone opposite. It's so interesting. And I'll tell you what the difficulty with this Mishnah is. Although the Mishnah makes a very clear distinction, what does it mean when it says you're Mefarish? That you're specific. What did you specify? So, right, the Mishnah, it's funny, as much as the Mishnah wants to be clear right now, the Mishnah's not clear. Meaning, if you specify, so then I agree with Rabbi Eliezer. And if you don't specify, so then I agree with Rabbi Yeshua. What exactly did you specify? So once again, a machlokus amongst the Mefarshim of the Mishnah, exactly what is meant when it says that you specified. Okay, I hope I'm saying this right. Right, the Rambam says that what you specified is the destination. Meaning you specified that you wanted to go to Bet HaKabayis. If you specified that you want to go to Bet HaKabayis, so then Rabbi Eliezer is right, then it's all going to go to Bet HaKabayis. But if you didn't specify, meaning you just simply said, it's Kadosh, I'm Makdish it, if that's all you said, so then basically what the assumption is going to be is everything is going to go to its best location. Your house? Bet HaKabayis. Your animals? Carbon. Best thing that could be done with an animal is be brought as a carbon. Rabbi Eliezer Amar, if a person dedicates things which are fit for the Mizbeach, like wine, like oil, like birds, so Rabbi Eliezer says, you sell it, and the value will be brought as an ola, because basically you wanted those items to go up onto the Mizbeach, so you sell it, generating a revenue for the Beis HaMikdash, and the proceeds of that sale will be used to buy an ola, and everything else will go to Bet HaKabayis. Okay. Hamakdish L'Kabanan Tzibur, we start with the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ketores. We go back to a point that we made earlier this morning. Right? The Mishnah just simply says, you are Makdish everything in your house towards the Beis HaMikdash. Included, says Rav Yochanan, was what? Ketores. And again, let's review what we said earlier. What are you doing with ketores in your house? How did you prepare the ketores in your house? So again, Rav Yochanan was of the opinion that we learned earlier this morning that ketores does not have to be prepared in a kli sharis. Okay. And I'm Rabbi Yoshi, etipater b'uman, b'uman, mishal beis avtina, shayanota b'schara ketores. And again, Rav Yoshia says, no, the Mishnah is speaking specifically about the Beis Aftinas, who were the ones who were preparing the Ketores, and they were doing so in the Klisharis. So, my time in the Menazeh, Shein HaEktesh, Mezchal, HaMalach, HaMalach. And then the Gemara explains very quickly, very briefly, what's behind Benazai. You can't deconsecrate Kedusha onto services. Deconsecration has to be done onto items. Taman Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah towards the end of Masechta Temura. Do we remember? Do I remember? A little bit. Yesh bekashi berakabai shestam ekdesh shestam berakabai. Ekdesh berakabai chal ala kol umo'alim begidu oleim ve'in behem hanaya lekohanim. The Mishnah says, stam hekdeshos. A person was makdish. With no clarification. The person just simply says, hey, it all belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. I'm done with it. I don't need it anymore. So what does the Mishnah Temura tell us? It tells us that, number one, everything goes to the Beit HaBayis. It applies to everything. There's a din me'ila, not only by these items, but by their growth as well, if there's gidul. And the Kohanim get none of it. The Kohanim get no benefit from it whatsoever. Okay, that's the Mishnah Temura. Now that we know our Mishnah Shkalim, so now we're slightly more informed. That Mishnah Temura is going like whom? It's going like Rabbi Eliezer, clearly. Because what did Rabbi Eliezer says? That when a person is makdish, where is all that? What's the address? Where is it all going to? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's all going to Bedek HaBayis. So I'm Rabbi Chanina de Rabbi Eliezer, de Tanina, makdish achosav, aysam em mehem, arui al gabi mizbech, zecharim nekevus, Rabbi Eliezer, amr, zecharim yamachu letzarche olos, nekevus yamachu letzarche zivche shlamim, v'demeim yipo imshar nechosnim, le Bedek HaBayis. Perfect. So the Mishnah Temura, which is an anonymous Mishnah, we now can say, because we know Mishnah Shkalim, it's going like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, time of the Rabbi Eliezer. Let's see if we can give some sort of analysis. What's the reason behind Rabbi Eliezer? The Ishki Akdish has Beis HaKodesh LaHashem. The Torah describes at the end of Parshas Behar, a person sanctifying, dedicating all of his possessions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bameh Anan Kaiminan. That pasuk, what is that pasuk talking about? What is it describing? Im bebayis dira, is it talking about your actual house? No. Because go back to that parsha in Behar, and the Torah says, Kfar Ksiv, it already says, Im ha-maktish yigalas beiso. The Torah already was discussing somebody was maktish's home. It's not talking about his home. Ella, kianan kamim and bemaktish nechasav. It's talking about someone who is makdish and zechasim, mikan shestam hektish to bedek habayis, and that's how we know that your stam hektish is going to bedek habayis. Now, how do we see it from the pasuk? So, once again, it's not totally clear from the Gemara how we see it from the pasuk. If you look back at the pasuk says, ish ki yaktish es beiso, kodesh la Hashem, it goes to God. Isn't it interesting? Really, you could have argued, what does that mean? It's kodesh la Hashem, it goes to God. It goes on to the mizbeach. But the Gemara says, no. This is a support for Rabbi Eliezer that it all goes to Bedek HaBayis. Why is it so supportive for Rabbi Eliezer? So perhaps the reason being is because Kodesh LaHashem means what? It means Hashem gets all the benefit and not the Kohanim. The Kohanim gets zero benefit. Now, so if it was brought as a karban, the Kohanim would get some benefit. Now, as Danny points out, an Ola is not eaten by the Kohanim. That's true. But every time an Ola is brought as a karban, the Kohanim get a new pair of shoes and a new handbag for their wife. Okay, the hides, the oros, the hides of every karban Ola goes to the Kohanim. So either it's a chatas where the Kohen gets to eat the meat of the chatas, it's an Ola where the Kohanim get the oros of the Ola. Every karban is going to represent some benefit for the Kohanim. So when the Torah says Kodesh LaHashem, we're looking for a destination where the Kohanim get zero benefit. What would that be? That would be Bedek HaBayis. Amar Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Chana B'Shem Rav, Bameh Pligim, Bamaktish Nechasav, Avam Bamaktish Edro. The Gemara now is going to quote two versions of Rav. Version number one of Rav, what if the only thing your Maktish was your Eder? Meaning you have a farm, you have animals. Okay, the animals served me well, I'm done with the animals. And you dedicate the animals to the Beit HaMikdash. And again, you're not specific. All you say is, I'm makdish them. So, kol ama mode shehu lemizbeach. So, according to the first version of Rav, we all agree, we meaning not here us in the room, but Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua of our Mishnah will agree that these animals go to the Mizbeach. Okay? Why? Why is there agreement? So, he doesn't explain, but I'm assuming the Pshat in the Gemara is because if all you're doing is being makdish animals, I mean, what's the purpose of animals in the Beis HaMikdash? Karban. So one can argue that it's to be offered as a karban l'mizbeach. Rabbi Ba, Rav Chuna b'shem Rav, Ma Pligin. Here we have a second version of Rav, And that is, when is there a machlokas in a Mishnah about Makdish Hedro? That's if you're Makdish your Eder. But if you're Makdish your all your estate, and including your estate as animals, then we all agree that it's going to go to Bedek HaBayis. Now, al date the Rabbi Zira Nicha v'kasha al the Rabbi Ba. The Gemara says, you know, this second viewpoint, so difficult, because Behem Alolam is Be'achi, Behem Alolam is Be'achi. So in other words, let's think about it this way. What normally happens with an animal? Goes to the Mizbeach. Okay. V'lama sasam ha'isha zeh, shuhu ka'omer lo yeh ela lebedek habayis. Now, by virtue of the fact that this person hasn't said anything, meaning he just simply said, my flock is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, again, it stands to reason that had the person really wanted his animal to be brought as a carbon, which is what is how we normally view animals in the context of a Beis HaMikdash, so let him say it. It's going to be, right? Why is he...
He doesn't have to say it. It's obvious.
Correct. In other words, you could have... It's funny. When I prepared the Gemara, I'm like, I thought to myself the same thing. You could have argued the other way. But what the Gemara is arguing now is that the fact that you didn't say the most obvious point, which is that the animal is going to go to the Mizbeach, and you just simply said it's going to Hekdesh, so by virtue of that, it's ki'ilu, it's as if you said, it's ki'omer, that I wanted to go to the Bedek HaBayis. Okay, again, with all these Gemaras, time and again, we have a lot of discussions throughout Shas where we're looking to see what the intent of the giver was. That's basically what's happening over here. We're trying to determine what the intent of the giver is. I mean, with all these Gemaras, you can always say, ask him, find out what he wanted. In other words, but these Gemaras are always looking to find out. When we get to Nedarim, right, we'll see a lot of this. When we get, but here also, we're seeing it here as well. In other words, when the person is giving, we want to see what the intent of the giver was. If we don't know, so we kind of just have to figure it out based on the very little that he says. Rav Yochanan Amar lo shnayehi. Rav Yochanan says, the machlok is in our Mishnah. Between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, there's no distinction. According to Rav Yochanan, there is a standing machlokas. Okay. Okay. Stop over here. Okay. Okay. We're good. We did a daf of Gemara today, but we're not good. We're still behind. Okay. Shabbos. We're going to meet an hour before Mincha. I know tomorrow's Friday, but Shabbos we're going to meet an hour before Mincha, and we will hopefully catch up to where we need to be. Today's daf should be daf Yud Gimel. I know we're behind. God willing, over Shabbos we'll catch up.